Let's pray as we stand. Father, we thank you that you are not silent. We thank you that you have given us your word. We thank you that you have given us your spirit. And we ask now that your spirit would shine the truth and the light of your word into our dark hearts. That you'd help us to see Jesus shining in his radiance. That you would indeed change us for your glory. In his name we pray. Amen. Our reading this morning, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As we step into this new year, as we do a spring clean, as we look forward to what lies ahead, what are your hopes for your walk with Jesus this year? Maybe you're looking forward to that fresh start, a clean house, a new beginning. Maybe you want more of Jesus in 2024. You've tasted that joy in the past, and you're wondering, what on earth do I do to recover that? How can I get more of him? Maybe you felt dry and distant recently. Christmas has been a bit of a nightmare for you. You felt far from the Lord. You felt like you're in a spiritual wasteland. Maybe you've been struggling with temptation. You've stumbled into sin over and over, and it is really beginning to weigh you down. Or maybe things have been going pretty well, and you want to keep going. You want this year to be a year where you honor the Lord, and you long to hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I don't know if it is too late to make a New Year's resolution. It probably is. But let's do a new week's resolution. Colossians 3, verse 1, makes a pretty great one. Have a look down with me. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. It is a really simple point for us today. Christian, your life is with Christ. So look to Christ. Fix your eyes on him. Your life is with Jesus. Set your mind on him. Make him your goal. Everything you do, every word you say, every thought that you have, each ambition, every relationship, the effect it has on your whole being and every day that you journey through this world, set your mind on Christ. Your life is with Christ. I wonder what words you use to define yourself, if you've got an Instagram biography or indeed a Facebook biography, if you know what that is. A wife or a husband, student, engineer, medic, a Leipziger, maybe a survivor, a fitness freak, food lover, a Brighton Hove Albion fan, maybe only one of those here. What about with Christ? Your life is with Christ. United to him. What happens to him happens to you. It is hard to find an illustration that really does this justice. When it was first explained to me, I was told it's a bit like a plane when you get inside. We thought last week about turning left or turning right when you get on the plane. Whether you turn left or turn right, what happens to the plane happens to everyone inside it. You and I, if we're trusting Jesus, are in Christ. So what happens to him happens to us. He does it all. Where the plane goes, we go. He takes us safely to our destination. It's a helpful picture, but it is a lot stronger than that. Far stronger than just being near to him or being carried by him. Or think of a tree. We have a tree in our garden down the road. It's a massive tree, and at some point, I think someone must have grafted in some pear branches to it. Because I can't imagine there's a pear tree this tall. And so these branches are now part of this tree. You can see where the join was, but they are part of the tree. If the tree gets sick, the branch gets sick, the fruit gets sick. They're intertwined. Or think of a baby in a mother's womb. The baby literally lives because the mother lives. The baby feeds through the mother. The baby breathes because the mother breathes for it. But it is even more than that. Look down at verse 4. If you're trusting Jesus, Christ is your life. Your life is with Christ. Paul draws out three aspects for us of that, and then we'll think about one implication. First of all, you have died with Christ. We say Jesus died for me, he died in my place. In his death, chapter 2, verse 14, across the page, he cancelled the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. He set it aside, nailed it to the cross. We are having to remortgage at the moment, and we have a massive debt that we cannot repay, sadly. This is a far greater debt that you and I could never repay, but was wonderfully satisfied at a point in time by a death. The wanted poster is torn down, the arrest warrant ripped up. It is a substitution, it's a death for your death, for you in your place. It is penal. It's to do with justice. So the penalty has been paid. Every sin, past, present, and future. Nothing more to be done. No claim that can or will come back to bite you. No fresh revelation. No legal review. This is done. It is dealt with. It is finished. It was atoning. It washed you clean. You are justified before the Lord God Almighty. A legal declaration that echoes down for all of eternity, that will never be revoked, never changed. Jesus' death is all of those things. For you, for me, it means that you and I can approach the very throne of God with utter confidence, free from fear. It means you and I can have full assurance because the ruler of all other rulers, the Lord and judge of all, has said it is done. Removed the charges, defeated those who would bring them against us, all done at the cross. But there's even more for us to say. Verse 3, you have died with Christ. So that means you have a new relationship with sin. It is no longer part of who you are. We say we've been set free from the power of sin. The penalty is paid. The power has no hold. It is such a fundamental break that we are dead to it. Its presence may weigh heavily on you at times. But if you are a Christian, it has been dealt with. You start 2024 with a clean slate. And one day it will be taken away from you forever. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. You've died with Christ. Do we have a new relationship with the world and its religion and its rules? They don't make us right before God. Only Jesus can do that. Paul has spent the last chapter saying that. You don't need anything else. Only Jesus. The old life is over. We don't need it. We died with Christ. There is nothing more to do. There is nothing more that you need. All through your union with him. Your life, if you are trusting Jesus, is with Christ. You've died with him. You've been raised with him. I've always wanted to ride in a hot air balloon. I'm not sure if it will ever happen. But you step on, I understand, and then it goes up. It looks remarkably simple. You're lifted far above the earth. When you became a Christian, you were raised with Christ. Chapter 3, verse 1 is not a question. It's not with uncertainty if you've been raised with Christ. The assumption is you have been raised with Christ. Paul is writing to Christians. You have been raised with Christ, so seek the things that are above. Now he says in Ephesians 2, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him. Jesus said in John 5, we looked at this a few months ago, if anyone trusts in me, you have passed from death to life. Your life is with Jesus, in Jesus, united to Jesus, bought by his blood, sealed with the Spirit. Colossians 1, verse 13, across the page. Delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of his beloved Son. I don't know if Jadon Sancho will ever complete his transfer back to Borussia Dortmund, but if he does, he will rejoice at having been transferred from Manchester United to Borussia Dortmund. You've been raised with Christ. That Christ is the source of this new life. It is yours through your union with him. Just as that branch is united to the tree, just as the baby is united to the mother. You don't need to try and bring it about. You already have it. You don't need to try and get something more. You don't need to do anything else. Nothing can take it away because the Lord of life gave it to you. Now, that is what God does. He makes the dead come to life. He raises us up from the depths of the pit to eternal life that we can bask in his presence, safe and secure. Every blessing that is his given to you, generously poured out on you, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, adopted, redeemed. When all we knew is death, now we have life. Your life is with Christ. You have died with him. You are raised with him. Your life is hidden with him. One of our kids was given some money from a family member to go and buy a birthday present ahead of their birthday, so they had something to open on his birthday. And having been involved in buying a couple of his presents beforehand, it was really difficult to make sure he didn't go and buy the same thing. The gifts were his. They are hiding away at home. But he couldn't see them yet. We hear these amazing truths about our lives. We've died. There is no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are a new creation. You have life in all its fullness. You will one day stand before the throne of grace and you will look down and you will see, wow, what a great God I have. He is so good to me. Words cannot begin to describe how great he is. But as we stand at this gate of 2024, we don't see it yet, do we? Some of us really don't see it at the moment. We don't feel it. We can't enjoy them fully. Sin has lost its power over us, but it is still there, crouching at your door. We have spiritually died with Christ, but we still face death in this life. Suffering still comes, cut us, and we still bleed. But our lives are hidden with Christ. And Colossians 3, verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Not in tattered rags, not by the skin of your teeth, but in glory, radiant and bright. Standing before the throne, dressed in a beauty not your own, in royal robes that I don't deserve, washed by the Lamb, in the new creation where all is bright, and where all we know is light and life and joy and endless satisfaction as we see him face to face. Now we see through a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been known. We've died with Christ. We've been raised with him. Our life is hidden with him. The American pastor D.L. Moody once wrote this, or said this: someday you will read in the papers that D.L. Moody of East Northfield is dead. Don't you believe it? At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now. I shall have gone up higher. That is all out of this old clay tenement into a house that is immortal, a body that death cannot touch, that sin cannot taint, a body fashioned like unto his glorious body. I was born of the flesh in 1837. I was born of the spirit in 1856. That which is born of the flesh may die. That which is born of the spirit will live forever. And 150 years on, D.L. Moody is with Christ. Forever with Christ. Brothers and sisters, your life is with Christ. You have died. You have raised. Your life is hidden. We don't see it yet, but one day you will. So Colossians 3, verse 1. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is. Set your mind on Christ. In the days leading up to Christmas, we did, as I'm sure others did too, had a few gifts under our tree. Do you know where our children went each day? Straight to the bottom of the tree, rifling through them. What can they see? What can they smell? What can they shake? Gazing at the gifts under the tree. Or take our dog. He got a bone that we'd bought beforehand. He loves a bone. He can smell a bone because he's a dog. He would be snuggled up with us as we watched a film or played a game of an evening. And every now and then, he would go and carry himself off to his little corner of the house. And we'd hear this little woof. And then the whining would begin. And then the barking would begin until we came. And we'd go and find him. And there he was, looking up at his bone, longing for it, gazing on it. He had his mind set on his bone. You couldn't distract him from it. No matter what you tried, he was there looking at this thing, pleading for it. He knew where it was and he kept going back to it. Set your mind on things above. The things above where Christ is. That is what above means, where Jesus is. He is not below, he is not dead, he is risen, he is alive. Christ, who is supreme in all things. We're going to say these words together in a moment's time. The image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Jesus, through whom and for whom all things were created. The one who is before all things, and in him all things hold together. The head of the body, the church, the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might have the supremacy. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God, far above all thrones and dominions, rulers and authorities. Seated in his sovereignty, just like the future king of Denmark, in a week's time or so, will sit on his new throne. Jesus seated, victorious, enthroned as the king of Psalm 110, ruling over all creation. Seated as a king. Seated because he has finished his work. Nothing more for him to be done. Nothing more for you or me to add. That is where we fix our gaze. On the Lord Jesus, our precious Saviour, King, Friend, our Shepherd, our Companion, our Host. Set your minds on things above, not on things of the earth. Have a look down at verse 5. Paul says, "Put together, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness. Don't look down, look up." We can't set our sights on Jesus and sin at the same time. They're in different directions. That daytime fantasy that you sometimes let your mind wander to, or jealousy for that thing that your friend has, their sense of humor or their looks or their job or their relationship. Set your minds on things above. On Jesus. We often call unbelievers, those who wouldn't say this, they are Christians, we often call them seekers. If you're here this morning as a seeker, it's great to have you. We're so glad you're with us. Please do come on the 15th of January. It'd be wonderful to see you there. But the picture here is of a Christian being a seeker. We are to seek Jesus, not because we don't have him yet. Our life is with him. We're like the shadow trying to catch the reality. It's not like the wedding ring that was lost in the Ritz Hotel in Paris a month ago or so. Worth millions, a massive hunt goes on underway. People are accused of theft. A team diligently searches to get it back. They rummage in rooms. They go down behind sofas. They lift up cushions, search the whole hotel. They search in the laundry, and eventually they find it in the trash because it had been vacuumed up by an overly zealous cleaner. We don't need to recover what we don't have. We don't need to try and take possession of it. It is yours. If you are trusting in Jesus, he is your life. Your life is with him. We already have him. Seek after him. Neither do we set our minds on him because he is too difficult to see. We've got to really focus on him. The James Webb Telescope was launched just over 2 years ago. I've been enjoying looking at some of the pictures that have come back at this unbelievably vast universe. It is not like searching through the night sky for a new star. Not desperately trying to focus and see, have we got it right? Now, when it comes to Jesus, we are not guessing. We're not searching in that sense. We're not making assumptions. Yes, our minds are dull. We understand imperfectly. Yes, there is no part of his glory that we can fully comprehend. But his glory set out for us in the gospel is clear. It is plain and direct. Christ set forth as crucified, exalted, risen, glorified. Setting our minds on him means seeking him with a greater passion and urgency, because there is nothing in this world that you have that compares to him. It's a daily seeking after him, and it's constantly looking up. We went to Innsbruck over the summer in Austria. It's surrounded by mountains in this valley. And wherever you look, your eyes are drawn to the mountain peaks. You can't help but look up. Christ is the mountain peak that our eyes should be lifted to over and over. It's not just our affections that go to him. We are to hunger after him. We're to, as the deer pants for living water, so my soul longs after you. It is our affections, but it is also our minds. Did you see that? Verse 2. Set your minds on things above. It's a state of knowing, a renewed mind, focused on him. A mind that reasons with itself that whatever my circumstances might be at this moment in time, I know that my Redeemer lives. I could tell you of a high-flying friend in the corporate world who's offered a promotion to senior management and a salary to match, but as he is considering the offer, he goes away and he prays and he thinks about it. He keeps his eyes, his gaze fixed on Jesus, and he thought of the added travel that comes with the job and the way that would take him away from his family, limit what he could do as a father. He thinks of mealtimes that would be missed. He thought of the pressure that would come and the impact that would have on his energy and the time to serve in his family, in the church family. And so he decided to say no to the promotion. Or I could tell you of many stories of people going through hard times. A widow, lonely, grieving, but looking to Jesus, learning that he is always with her. A young mum going through criminal proceedings against the father of their child. Looking to Jesus, learning that God never abandons her. God cares about her. He cares about justice. I could tell you of a friend who just graduated, about to start a law career with one of the best law firms in the world, engaged to be married later that year, diagnosed with leukemia. Fixes his eyes on Jesus, knows the life that he has in his Savior, even as cancer and chemo wrecks his body. If you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. John Owen, the old English pastor, wrote this: "Reckon in your minds that this beholding of the glory of Christ by beholding the glory of God and all his glorious properties in him, is the greatest privilege whereof in this life we can be made partakers. Herein would I live. Herein would I die. Hereon would I dwell in my thoughts and affections, to the withering and consumption of all the painted beauties of this world, and to the crucifying of all things here below, until they become to me a dead and deformed thing, no way meet for affectionate embraces. It is saying to myself, whatever I might have in this life, whoever I might think that I am, whatever I'm hoping for this year, completely pales into insignificance compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord and the life that I have with him. In Jesus, with Jesus, he is my life. That is what we should be like this year. Set your minds on things above. So let me ask you, what do you set your mind on? What mountain peaks does your gaze keep drifting to? There's a phrase that we have in English, he's so heavenly minded that he's of no earthly good. So focused on the things above that they forget to live, forget to see people around them in the here and now. I don't really think that's our problem. What do you think? I think I'm the complete opposite. Too often, so earthly minded that I'm of no heavenly use. We fill our minds with so many things. A few years ago, a friend made a video called If iPhones Were Bibles. It follows a guy around through the day. And instead of all of those times when you pick up your phone, you pick up your Bible. It starts first thing in the morning, he's in bed, the alarm goes off, and instead of picking up his phone, he's got three Bibles surrounding him that he goes to grab. As he's pouring a coffee, instead of scrolling through the phone, he is reading his Bible. He's working at his computer, and he keeps looking down at this thing on the desk. It's not his phone, it's his Bible. Can't put it down, keeps picking it up. Flicks through it. He's driving in his car, and what's in his hand? Looking down at his Bible. It is a silly video, but it makes a good point. How much of your day is spent on your phone screen and how much on your Bible? Set your minds on things above. How can you do that tomorrow, this week? As a family, over the last week, we've been memorizing Psalm 23. Just a few minutes at breakfast each morning, saying it a few times together, talking about how our day might be different as a result, praying about it. And then it's just on your fingertips, at the front of your minds, on your tongue as you speak. Set your minds on things above. Imagine the difference that would make to your 2024. That disappointment that comes, which in any other year would have completely rocked you. But this time you haven't set your hope on it, you set your hope on Jesus. Kept your eyes fixed on him, so instead of despair, you learn to lean on him in the disappointment and in the tears. Never leaves you, always loves you, carries you safely through. Or those dark nights when you felt weighed down by your sin and you felt you can't possibly run to him And so instead of going to him and instead of going to friends at church, instead of coming along to church, you run and you hide. But not this year. Because you set your mind on him and you know that no matter how big your sin, and no matter what you think other people would say to you, he would never drive you away. Because your life is with him. A year, 2024, when instead of taking one step forward and two steps back in your fight against sin, this year you set your mind on Jesus. You've learned to put off the old and put on the new. You can see him at work in you as you fix your eyes on him, teaching you to love him more, to be captivated more and more by his beauty, his character. And so he changes you. It's slow, but he changes you. He remakes you, renews you day by day in his image. Well, 2024, a year in which you, instead of being too afraid to speak when your friend at work gets that diagnosis or gets the sack or is just going through a breakup and or grieving, whatever it is, any other year you'd have been too afraid to say anything. But this year you have set your hope on Jesus. And you know that is what they need to hear. And so you speak. A year in which you feel more secure, more loved, more accepted, where you actually make it along to home group, where your friendships flourish, where security displaces fear, satisfaction drives out greed, and joy becomes the hallmark of your character. Where you hold your head up high and with each step forwards, you know you are one step closer to seeing your Savior. No one like him, no one you need more than Jesus, no greater treasure. If you have died with him, you have raised with him, if your life is with him, if every single benefit that is yours, if he is your life, set your mind on him. And before long, just a little longer, we will be with him forever. And what a day that will be. Let me pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are so kind. We thank you that you sent your Son to deal with our sin, to raise us to new life, to die in our place, to give us hope. Father, thank you that if we are trusting him, we are a new creation, that our lives are hidden with him. Father, thank you that we can say with great confidence that Jesus is our life. And for all those here this morning who say that is true for them, would you teach us this year to set our minds, our hearts, our affections, our love, our desire on Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.